So nice to see everyone of you here today, and so great to have Brother Tanner home. Brother Tanner, why are you standing here? I notice your grandparents are here. We're glad you folk are here. Tanner is such a special young man around here. I want you to say a word, don't run off. We're glad you're here. He's such an enjoyable person. Working so hard. Just come out here where you can see everybody.
It's good to be in the presence of the house tonight. This morning, should I say? Stayed up real late last night with Logan, watching YouTube videos, and I'm exhausted. Thank you, buddy. It's always good to catch up with my friends and to see them when I'm back home. I was sitting there, always listening to music on the way in, so I turned it on, my little Christian top 100 playlist, and I was sitting there driving in, you know, had no idea my best friend was going to get engaged this weekend, and then I was like, man, I'm getting old, you know, it's like, wow, but no, as I was thinking, you know, just alone, my family's been going through some trials. Some tribulations. Just some things have been happening. And as I was on my way home, sorry, I'm getting a little emotional, my bad. Sorry, but you know, as I was sitting there thinking on the way home, I just thought of the book of Matthew. Pretty sure it was the disciples were on the boat. The waves started coming in and hit the ship. And I spoke about this before, but it was really just like on my heart, you know? And, pretending like the ship's my family. And God just continues to have these huge waves come in and hit us. And during the story, disciples, they go to God. They rush to God. They're like, Jesus, hey, wake up. You know, we need help. And it's, you're sitting there thinking, you're like, man, I'm kind of scared right now. I think I need to wake up y'all, you know? But then my thoughts kind of changed. It's like, I need to trust in the Lord. Have faith in God that He's going to help us overcome these situations, these trials. And you know, it's such an awesome feeling to be able to walk in this house and just lay all this stuff down at God's feet. And I'm so thankful to be here. So thankful to see my grandparents here. And I'm truly blessed. So thank y'all.
I did not prepare an overhead, so don't be worried about that. But I would like for you to get some scriptures together, Matthew 7, 21 through 27. There's a lot of things that are happening in our world right now that demand our attention. One suicide is far too much. Over 100 churches in this county. Somewhere, there's got to be a renewing of the passion that reached us, that touched the man that wrote it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. Because the understanding was clear and simple. There's bread in God that will furnish the brain, that will furnish the heart, that will furnish homes, that will furnish marriages, that will furnish child-parent relations, that will build a community that can withstand the storms. And so I want us to pray before we go into this lesson. God, help me to be honest with myself. Can I give more? And do I really have a hunger to assuage or to stop what's happening in our city? We can start changing America by changing ourselves. I am an American. I can make Christianity look good or bad because a lot of people notice me. They notice you. And for that reason, I have tried desperately the last year to help us to understand without a question, we are not only important, we are valuable. Every advertisement recognizes your value. You represent an opportunity for them to put their wares in your home. You represent an opportunity for them to sell their cologne to you. And they are smart. Bible says they are wiser than the children of light. They know to spend to get. Many of you ever woke up to a Procter Gamble product on hanging on your doorknob? Maybe a gift wrapped in a sack or just lying in a sack. I'm hungry. I'm a desperate creature. I don't want to look into the hollow eyes of one more girl that wonders if her marriage will go awry. I don't want to look into the eyes of another young man with tears running down his face and breathing hard, saying, "Pastor, I'm not sure what to do." I want them to find the river of life somewhere in ministry, somewhere in a tremendous church family. And I tell you again, this city don't have enough buildings to hold the revival, church buildings, to hold the revival that Zechariah the 14th chapter talks about. Because the pain is increasing in America. Have you not noticed that the hollowness of conversation turns to antagonism only against political people? We can send politicians to the White House that are filled with the Spirit of truth and God. But when churches start trying to agree with carnal concepts, then we send carnal-minded politicians to the place that creates laws. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about going to a house called the house of God only. It's finding the God of a house that will make all the difference in your home, in your mind, and in your spirit. A simple, 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 simple thing. Adam and Eve were removed from the garden, the place of spiritual authority. They literally ruled and reigned with God Almighty. And they listened to one voice and obeyed another voice and lost their place in rulership and in reigning. And the Bible says, from then on, women suffered childbearing, and men had to labor with the physical labor that goes along with plowing and making a living. He said, "But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to come to you and make you an example of what you can be all over again. And how in the world we have turned being born again into 100 different means and resisted the simple plan by which God was calling us back into a place of spiritual authority and the dynamics of life with righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I ask us to pray. And ask ourselves, when's the last time I obeyed something else that God has requested from me? Or have I already obeyed everything that His Word demands? And if I have, who am I teaching the results of that obedience to? Now, Father, we didn't come here to play religious games. There's a devil, demons, that are knocking on the door of our young world. And we parents brought them here. And we're not going through some little routine here today. We, like the little lady with the issue of blood, are here to touch the hem of your garment. We want to leave here greater than when we came. And we ask ourselves in your presence, am I really being honest with all I know? And am I really willing to do for our city what needs to be done? For my home, my wife, my husband, my children. Do I pray with them regularly and touch the hem of your garment? Or do I just go through some religious exercise, calling myself saved and a Christian? We want the power that you promised. In Jesus' name. I want us to turn, if you will, and if you can put those scriptures up there, we'll look at them. Print on my printer's getting smaller. In the last days. Somebody say in the last days. How many of you are aware that we're in the last days? You know, you can tell when you're getting close to home because there's telltale signs. If we go to Mount Pleasant, there's certain signs that let us know. If you go to Hugo, there's certain signs. If you go to Blossom or wherever, you can see certain signs of close to home. And the signs of the time are obvious. When you see these things come to pass, know ye that the coming of the Lord is near. The fact that we've heard that for years doesn't lessen the wisdom nor the power of that event. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Somebody say, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that last day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Prophesied there has to do with the word exalting his word or his name. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then, somebody say, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Let's read on. Therefore, somebody told me one time, said, when you see that word, you look up above it and see what it's there for. Therefore, Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, somebody say, doeth them. I will liken unto him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. I challenge every husband, every man in here today, be the man. When it tells us that the man is the head of the woman, that don't mean go get my coffee. And you be sure to get my bed made up. It means you're assuming a posture of responsibility. The head of a plant is the responsible man who helps to manage that plant. The head of the church is a man that manages the spiritual climate and creates by walls. Somebody say walls. I'm like, I can't believe that we're listening to people now that say that disciplines are unnecessary. How in the world can you keep your home in a climate of comfort without walls? It is totally impossible to have no discipline and keep the brain and the emotions and the lifestyle in a place where you live in a climate of growth. It is erroneous. It's a trick of the enemy. But when I read stuff like this, doing them, obeying them, I start understanding a little bit about what's going on. A lot of people are going to the house of God, hearing the word of God, and being comforted by the fact that God's still over there in heaven. It's time we bring him to earth by doing and obeying his word. And then his Holy Spirit will emanate from our mind through our voice, emanate through our mind through our actions. Be ye kind one to another will be something. And when you're going through a tough time, there's nothing like a brother coming over and patting you on the back and say, buddy, listen, I've been through some tough times, but I'll tell you what, God delivered me. That's a testimony, and it is a sense of security. There's nothing that can take the place of a husband walking in, putting his arm. Been looking forward to it, haven't you, baby? I know we're going through a tough time, but everything's going to be all right. There's nothing much more comforting than your kids going to bed scared to death of the Antichrist, scared to death of the wars, scared to death of the storms, scared to death of the lightning, than a dad going in there is responsible for those kids being here and saying, son, let me tell you something. I was a kid one day, and I remember what it's like to be having scary feelings. But let me tell you something. God has brought me this far. I've been through a ton of storms, and he's going to be with us tonight. Go ahead and close your eyes in the name of Jesus and let him take care of what he takes care of. He can handle storms. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. Somebody say rain, floods, winds, beating. None of those are new to him with whom we have to do. None of that is big for him to handle. He's the one. He said, behold, this is one of the things that none of us humans like about God. He said, behold, I create good and I create evil. It's hard to handle. But it's simple to hear. And if we can get it, we can have the peace that passes understanding. We can have the joy that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because suddenly we will choose God over flesh.
because I promise you, flesh has no promise for your provisions that are needed in this life. But God has all the provisions. Watch what he said, that through the body of Jesus Christ, he was tempted in all points such as we, and yet without sin. How many of you understand the term immunization? Immunization. How many of you got a little scar on one of your shoulders to remind you of immunization? I don't think they do that anymore. Good? Good? Still good? Super. Let me see here. It's not playing church, folks. This is big stuff. When you understand, when the Bible talks about that the life of the flesh is in the blood, that's not like just telling you something you didn't know. It's telling you about his blood. It's leading you and I to an understanding that the life of the Spirit is in the blood of Jesus, because God overshadowed Mary. There's one reason that what we call the religious world, as opposed to the spiritually minded people, the religious world wants to do away with the virgin birth of Jesus, because the Spirit, God, moved across the face of the deep, and he created trees and moons and a moon and a earth and worlds and etc. But then he moved across a lady that was a virgin, and she was with child, the Bible says, by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Huge little story. And so it was that he was the earthly child of a heavenly father and the heavenly child of an earthly mother. But in that flesh that was produced that day, he felt the pain of every cancer cell. He felt the pain of every frustration that this flesh affords us in its fallen, negative condition. Here's the scripture for it. He knows our frame, that we are but dust. So he said, let me tell you something. You can have your mind reprogrammed. How many has ever rebooted your computer? It's amazing that the man who needs rebooting is afraid to get rebooted, and yet he creates rebooting a computer. That's what the scripture means when it says by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It don't mean just talking in tongues again or just feeling the Spirit of the Lord. Put your Bible down a minute. Let's interrupt this lesson for a commercial. Psalms 37 talks about something. Turn around, face the audience. I'd rather them look at you than me. Move on just a little. Trust in the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, I can tell you I'm trusting him, but how many of you look at me and saying I'm not trusting him? I'm standing on my own two feet. Now, I can smell his breath and feel his presence. No, I can't smell your breath. Oh, I can feel his presence. And so if he moves, what happens to me? I'm going to show you what it means to trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Now if he moves, what's going to happen? I'm going to bust it in. That's exactly right. That's what I'm talking about. Men and women are going to church and still hearing about him, saying they trust him, but when it comes to decision-making time, they use their own brain and say, well, I don't think God minds me doing this, and I don't think I have to do that, and I don't think... Listen to me. If you want peace that passes understanding, you got to do the word. You got to obey the word. You got to become one with the word. And then the word will never fail. And if you're biting into the word, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if God be for us, who then can be against us? Becomes a reality. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to awaken the glory of the word and the glory of his spirit. His glory is phenomenal. So the rain descended and the floods came. Is anybody sensing the wind and the rain that is blowing and coming against the kingdom of God? Here's how you can tell when people are in the kingdom of God. It's a sacred place. It's a place of choice. But the Bible said the kingdom of God is not. This is Romans the 14th chapter. The letters to the church are managing your faith. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Well, what had happened? They were trying to take communion and make just the communion cup their spiritual edifice. He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, guys. The kingdom of God is righteousness, standing upright, and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now that ought to tell anybody a whole lot about what he wants for each of us. He said, I have come to establish a kingdom, and if you obey me, you become one with me. How many of you parents ever spanked a child for disobedience? Because they separated themselves from your wisdom that would have kept them from running into a car in the street or running and falling out of a tree or doing other things that would damage their future. And when they obeyed you, you gave them, like the monkey through the cage, a cracker. Are you rewarded them, right? If they didn't obey you and they played ball in the street anyhow, typically old-fashioned days when the glory covered a city, moms and dads would bring the kids in and give them a chastening. The psychologists come along and say, look, you're damaging them. What? I felt like I was being damaged. But I was learning the scripture that said, God chasteneth whom he loveth. And whereas now, no chastening for the time seems joyous. But he said, I'll tell you what. You need some chastening every now and then. A good little rebuke. Because I'm telling you, the foundation is the critical issue. The storm is coming. The Antichrist knows how to destroy people who don't love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. You've got to give it all. You can't give one Sunday a month or one Sunday a week to this thing and try to stand against the rain and the storm that's coming to America. He's beating on the house. The kingdom of God is taking a beating. How? I'm going to quote it. We'll get there probably. Maybe not. Time's running quick. Sort of like the last 2 minutes in the ball game. And we're 5 points behind. We need him more than we know we need him. We keep thinking our neighbor can handle. If our neighbor would behave, we'd have a great city. If our political leaders would behave, we'd have a great community. I'm going to tell you, in the face of your enemy, you can put the lion's mouth to a quietus. It would have been nice if Ahasuerus would have not done what he did. It would have been nice. Have you ever read the little Hebrew story of the boys that were put in the fiery furnace? Watch the build up to that, and you'll see what's happening right now. We're going to throw you in the fiery furnace if you don't bow down to our God. And they wouldn't bow down. Now watch the next thing. Tell them we're going to heat the furnace 7 times hotter. Now you tell me what's the difference in 1 time hot and 7 times hot. Say it, goodnight.
Mental psychology.
Mental psychology only. It don't get any worse than being separated from God, who gives you every breath you breathe and gives you the ability to think properly. That's how merciful he is. He is so merciful that I tell you in good authority that the worst criminal that's killed the most people sitting in a brain cell, somewhere, he loves them just as much as he loves the preacher today. And he will forgive them just as quick as he will me. We can change America if we get a backbone and start standing up for the righteousness and the peace and the joy that can rule this world again. And I'm telling you, I'm ready for the rule of Mark County. We've got a lot of preachers and we've got a lot of nice people, but we need somebody that's got a strong voice that will stand up and say, he is the only way. There's not a psychologist that can get rid of our sins. There's not a great people, the great mind that can get rid of our indignities. I wish some of you could sit on the couch with me in my office and watch a little 11-year-old girl looking at her mother, and her grandmother's there. And the grandmother said, Pastor, I wanted them to come talk to you at least before they make this final decision. And the mother says to the little girl that's emotional, says to the little 11-year-old girl, you want mommy to be happy, don't you? And she's crying like a baby. And she said, yes, mother, I want you to be happy, but I don't want 2 mothers. The kid looking and crying, and the wind and the rain has been beating on the foundation of that lady's life so long that she has no foundational values. She has no affirmation in her life that says, I'm in alignment with the one who's going to come back and get a people out of this world and going to get them out of the grave and going to take them to a glory land somewhere. Don't sing the song if you don't believe in the glory land way. Don't just act like it. Let your kids know by the way you live, the way you talk, and the way you walk, I believe there's a glorified body. And I tell you that the winds and the rain cannot destroy the church, because other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and they that build their future must build it upon the cornerstone.
And I get so amazed that when I get loud like this, I get to thinking about all the people that make fun of me. And they'll sit in a ball stadium and go nuts. They'll sit in their home and watch TV and shout when there's not even anybody there to listen to them. Just they do it for themselves. Yeah. I've been there. I mean, some real intelligent looking people go nuts when the game's over and they didn't win. My God, what's wrong with those guys? Oh, please act like we're in the real world. And I'm telling you, the wind and the rain is beating on our homes. And the wind and the rain, the storm is here. The Antichrist is working overtime to keep our doubts alive and to keep our fears alive. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus invited you to this house today by whatever means you got here, to tell you, I'm alive and I'm coming back. Be ye ready. praise Him just for the thought that I can make it. I wish we'd exalt Him. I'm talking about exalting Jesus. I'm glad I came to hear about You. If I could sing right now, I'd sing that old song, I'm anchored in Jesus, blessed rock of ages. The wise blood. Somebody say the wise blood. That blood of Jesus, He was tempted in every point, such as we, and yet without sin. He was tempted to lie. He was tempted to quit. He was tempted to kill them. He was tempted to hate them. He was tempted to forget them. He was tempted to walk away and said, if you don't want it, forget it. Everything you've ever thought of. Some of you evangelists, some of you, God has called you to be out there in that coffee shop for more reasons than to talk about the deficit of the economy of America. I promise you that the politicians are not going to cure the ills of America. The Bible says it clearly. The carnal mind cannot entertain the spiritual values, and it was the spiritual values that built America strong. It was men and women that obeyed the best they could and fought to try to obey more of them until the Antichrist started getting his hand in it and started creating. We've got over 1,122 religious systems in the world. 360 ticket booths in America alone, with God only knows how many churches that belong to each ticket agent, and they are named all kind of names, 360 of them, with thousands of churches. And I mentioned this to some of you here a while back. I think it was on a Wednesday night. Years ago, we had 422,000 churches in America. It dropped down to 330-something thousand, and it is on an increase. But the problem is this. It's not preaching to people to get out of sin. You can still lie and be a church member nowadays. You can still have illicit sex and be a church member. As a matter of fact, we got one in town that's ordaining perverts to their pulpit. I'm here to tell you it's time for somebody to take your voice to the next level and tell your coffee shop friends and tell your little card playing friends, we got to turn our hearts to Jesus. We got to cry out to Jesus for our city. We got to cry out to Jesus for our kids and quit talking so much ball. I'm going to watch ball games. Yes, I'm going to do it. But I'm not going to let myself talk more about ball and front of my kids, and I am going to talk about Jesus. He's the rock of ages. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the glory of my mind. He is the glory of my soul. Have a good life. Enjoy food, but enjoy the bread that comes from above. Would you take your wife's hand, man, and pray over her right now and let her know, I'm going to take my position in our home. I am going to bring about a revival of Jesus Christ. It's not about the name of the church you go to. It's about the amount of God you get in your life. I wish somebody would raise their voice. He said, cry aloud. God, help me. Help this preacher. It's pressure to preach to people that don't act like they want to hear it. It's a lot of pressure to try to preach things to people that act like it's not really meaningful. He is meaningful in every which way. Somebody say, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. Not everybody that has a little prayer meeting that talks to Him every day. He said, you got to make your calling and election sure. All this cheap stuff that's going on,
Don't you think it's not the mind of the Antichrist to destroy the word love? What does love mean to you when you love everything from your mop to your car and then say, I love God?
Hello?
And his book plainly says, put away all corrupt communication. There is a beauty about loving your neighbor. Nobody's going to talk bad about you. Not while I'm here. Nobody's going to cut you down and mow you down. Not while I'm here. We are of the same family. It is the Lord that made it. He calls himself our heavenly Father. What kind of glory does he get from me? Wow. And he falls over on his son. And his son says, man, the pastor killed him today.
I took it easy.
I don't want to fight. Hello? Is this real enough? I'm not playing games with your future. Your future means something to this guy. I'm telling you, if you get mad at me, that's your problem. I'm telling you, I'm here today to love you right into the glorious, most glorious place you've ever lived in your life. And that's under the shadow of his wings. That's under the shelter of his arms. That's in the middle of his grace, his teaching. Love. Love. He said this, by all men shall know you're my disciple that you have.
Love one another.
Love one another.
Would you go over and protect that little guy then? Because here's what love is. St. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You try to come hit this girl. Logan, I don't care how big you are. I'll die for her. Come on. I'm not going to quit preaching because Logan's going to try to get me out of the pastor's position here. I'm going to preach to you, sweetheart. You're going to find, he's going to push on me. And I've had men try to shove me into corners and try to tell me, Brother Meyer, that's not essential to preach that. Don't you know people get their feelings hurt? I'm telling you, I'd rather get their feelings hurt than their life destroyed. They can get over getting hurt feelings, but they can't get over eternity when they're condemned to a hell. Try it again, buddy. Not on your life. I'm not going to quit preaching the gospel. Yes, I feel pressure to quit preaching it. But I want to tell you, sir, we think God's with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And there's the Spirit about to rise up. He gave in. I felt him give in. He didn't want to embarrass me. Thank you, Logan. What I'm telling you, Bible said when the enemy comes in like the flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a power against him. I'm telling you, plant your feet on the Word. Don't plant your feet on a feeling. Your feelings will change. Well, I like this, and I like it. No. I believe this because it's the Word. The Word says, forgive your neighbor before you're asked. Well, that's what he said. Why wouldn't I do it? Move forward a little bit. The musicians are coming. Everyone that heareth these sayings, somebody say everyone. Not what church you go to. Not who tells you that you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. I can't imagine anybody cutting and pasting God's word that is eternal in the heavens. And when you get to that book of Revelation, one of the gentlemen talked about it, Brother Martin talked about it earlier. Here's what he says. You want to know the truth about who's going to heaven?
Listen to it. Go to the book of Revelation. The book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John develop your faith. The book of Acts is where you put your car in gear. The book of Romans through Jude, the books of Romans through Jude is where you get your hands on the steering wheel and you manage your faith. The book of Revelation is the results of your faith. And I don't get any more simple than that. And in the book of Revelation, the second chapter, he tells you who's going to be in heaven. To him that overcometh, will I give to sit with me in my Father's throne. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life forever. To him that overcometh, will I give a white stone. To him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. It don't get any more simple than that. And so the preacher preaches to you the word of God so that when the storm's coming, you have a sure foundation. You know in whom you have believed. And you have trusted in him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you're not standing on your own. You're standing in the blood, the wisdom of the blood, the wisdom of the Spirit that makes all things new. And all of a sudden, the winds blow and the storm comes. And you're still standing after the Antichrist has done everything he can. And they thought they had him when they stuffed him in a grave. And they may think they've got you, but greater is he that is for you. The blood is for you. The name is for you. The Holy Ghost is for you. The wisdom of God is for you. The generosity of heaven's forgiveness is for you. I'm talking to somebody. You've got a reason to shout. Much greater than making a touchdown. Much greater than winning the World Series. You're about to win eternal life. Don't let anybody lie to you. That's all I stand. I'm sorry if I've been boring today, but I came with a burning heart. Hungry. Come to entertain you. I'm going to let the entertainers, religious and physical. Let me add one thing to it real quick. You're sitting on the couch. Your passive husband who says that emotionalism is out the window. And all of a sudden his favorite team loses the game on mistakes. And he goes to cussing. Now tell me how blessed that is to a kid that's in that home when the daddy starts cursing and saying the stupid idiot and using all kind of weird language. When the Bible says put away corrupt communication. Only use communication that edifies. Yes, I've been sad that teams I wanted to win lost. But I'm not going to take it out on my wife. Corrupt the atmosphere with all kind of damnations and a pitiful attitude. And so she finally gets down and says, oh, no, I guess I didn't really care at first, but I guess I should have. Care about a cat. That's not going to have an eternal destiny. But here it is. The past is thrown. And your favorite tight end is going out to get it. And he has it in his hands and it looked like a perfect situation. And he drops it. And here's you sitting on a couch 1,000 miles away or 200 miles away and you're responding like this. Yikes! What creates that? You have joined him on the field by proxy. And you have become a part of him and you're responding as if you were him. Now here's the big part. You didn't pay the price to play the game. You just got in on the emotional side of it. And then we don't want emotionalism in the house of God where he paid the price and is letting us in on the glory of it. By forgiving us and by entertaining us with his word and by obedience, we literally become a part of it and deny this flesh the privilege. This altar's open and people all over this house are praying, entertaining His glory, because somebody is going to get renewed. Somebody's going to get strength here today. Somebody's going to walk out of here with a backbone like a saw log and say, look, devil, you may have beat on my house, and you may have tried to destroy my kids, and you may have tried to destroy my marriage, but I'm building my life right now on the rock of ages, and I'm going to let the wind blow and the storms come, but I'm going to have a foundation that is sure in the heavens and here too. If it's right, why don't you pray for your wife, your husband? If it's okay, why don't you pray for a neighbor somewhere? While men and women are coming here to intercede in behalf of a city that don't need another religious system. They need a picture of Jesus. A picture of His power. A picture of His love. A picture of His glory. A picture of His victory. Sing it. You've never had the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, verse 21 says, they that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 37 says, how do we call on the name of the Lord? Verse 38 says, by faith in repentance, by faith in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And by faith, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the new birth experience. He said, then your power level will reach optimum sources. All over the building, would you pour your heart out? God, help me as a dad. Help me as a mother. While this storm is beating on the outside of my house, to reassure myself. Sing it again, singers.